Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
1, 2, 3. It's a Hard Knicks Live. It is a Hard Knicks Live. A Hard Knicks Live. Oh, it's a Hard Knicks Live.
All right, what up, Knicks fans? And what is up, Barry motherfucking D?
What is up, Craig?
And good evening, Landerson Hooper.
Good evening to you, Craig.
Thought I was going to burp, though.
Me too.
You thought you were?
I mean, I kind of did.
I burp a lot when I'm not feeling well. It's like a weird thing. When I start just burping, I'm like, oh, shit, I'm coming down with something. I've got the toilet paper right here.
You ran out of tissues or something?
I'm blowing my nose so much that my nostrils hurt when I blow them now.
Well, why aren't you using tissues?
We don't have tissues. We're not like a tissue house.
Really? You strike me as a tissue kind of guy.
No, we just use toilet paper or paper towels.
Really?
Even though
paper towels are expensive. That's a waste, dude.
And that's rough on the nose.
Yeah.
No matter what.
I know. I was on a work Zoom call, and we all get on video, and I get on, and I have just this redness around my nose, and I'm looking at myself, I'm like, oh my God, I look awful. I mean, I always look awful, but I look really bad.
What kind of toilet paper is it that you're using? 'Cause I feel like Charmin would be a good one, because it's so thick, it's like tissues.
I don't use Charmin because it clogs up the toilets.
Really?
In the sewage system.
But that's the good stuff.
It's too thick.
Yeah, he's right, because, like, and then if you, like, rip off, like, one sheet, it's too thin, but if you do two sheets, it's, like, too thick. That's why I like the thin stuff. I can kind of do a threefold.
No, I don't like that stuff at all. It's horrible.
I use the Scott Comfort Plus. It's cheap, and it's soft, but it's not that Scott, like, it's not, like, that really cheap Scott stuff that you could, like, see your hand through it. It's so
right,
thin.
You buy it for, like, 49 cents a roll.
Where you, like, wipe your ass. And your hand goes right through it.
No, I don't like that.
Basically into your shit.
Who likes that? Nobody would like that.
At work, they redid a couple of the men faculty bathrooms. And so I have wipes at school that I use. One at the very end whenever I use the school bathroom. Because it's that really cheap toilet paper and I hate it.
Hold on. You bring your own wipes into the bathroom?
I bring one with me. I put it in my pocket.
You bring one wipe into the bath?
Yeah.
You put a wipe in your pocket, like a wet wipe in your pocket?
Just to get to the bathroom, yes. And then I use
don't
it.
Don't they have like travel packs?
I'm sure they do, but I don't carry it around. I just have it in my drawer. I take one when I need to. So it's the last
one
thing I
wipe.
Use.
So that's like the closer?
Yeah.
After you use the regular TP?
I'd never had an issue. And now they have this new bathroom that after 2 weeks, the toilet in the men's room and the women's room were clogged, that you flush one and in the other one, the other toilet would bubble up. So they had to come. They'd have the plumbers come in, and I'm talking to the assistant principal. He's like, yeah. He's like, they were pulling wipes out of the pipe. And I was like, what?
Oh, no.
No. He's like, yeah. He's like, do you know anybody who does that? And I was like, I don't know anything about that.
See, my only memory of, like, school, public school toilets is that they have so much force when you flush them. It's like, whoosh, and it just, like, sucks everything down. But I guess not in your school.
I don't know if they replace the pipes and they're smaller or what, but...
Well, speaking of crap, that's not a good segue. If you like our show, go on to iTunes, wherever you listen, leave us a positive review and or a 5-star rating. All right, it's been a couple of weeks since we all got together. What is it, every time I just was sick? I've been sick like for 2 weeks.
It's the COVID.
COVID, yeah. No, I don't have COVID.
No, you don't?
No, but the colds have been running through my house. I haven't gotten tested for COVID, but my kids have, and they don't have it.
Well, then you don't have it.
Funny how we test our kids every time they have a cold, but I've never gotten tested.
Oh, they've been tested multiple times already?
My daughter has been a couple times. My son once. He got his first COVID test the other day. Such a pussy. My daughter is so much tougher.
He's like 6.
He's almost 7. All right. You shouldn't cry when you... It only goes up your nose like an inch and a half.
No, that is not true. That is not true at all. They shove that thing all the way up your nose. It like tickles your brain.
It didn't look that long to me.
Yeah, it's a good 4 inches, bro.
They shove that thing way in there.
No, not this one.
Oh, his was different than every other one?
I don't know. Have they gotten better since you got it?
No, because my son just got one a week ago, and it was the same thing.
And did he cry?
I don't think so, but he's 12, so. But then again, he could be a pussy too, so.
All right, well, on today's show, we're going to be reviewing the power forwards in this year's draft. As we've been doing for the other positions, we're on to the power forwards. We'll get to that later. Sorry I sound like shit here, and I'm going to be blowing my nose and getting out of breath frequently. We'll be looking at those later. The Knicks are back, kind of, in their own little tiny bubble. It's been fun seeing some videos of them and some photos. The brown paper bag, nobody knows what's inside.
I told you what's inside, bro.
You told me what is inside.
Tom Thibodeau told the team that you're not bringing any designer gym bags because he saw all these fluffy Louis Vuitton bags. I'm telling you, that's totally what it is because I see jerseys hanging out of the bags and I've seen it in multiple pictures. That's totally what it is because every player's got one. It's not just
Frank. There is no way he told these players they had to leave those bags at home.
I'm telling you, he did.
Would you ever carry around a Louis Vuitton bag?
No.
Ever.
Well, I wouldn't.
But, I mean, that's nothing new for these guys.
I have a Louis Vuitton wallet, but it's not like the brown one with the LVs on it. It's like you wouldn't even know it's a Louis Vuitton wallet if it wasn't stamped on the inside. It's like a gray and blue, you know, classy wallet. Listen,
these guys enjoy the finer things. You know that. I mean, look at how they dress. It's one of their things. It's what they do.
So I think all Knicks fans have noticed this, or is it just me? We've all been talking about it, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally.
That in every photo and video, there always seems to be a brown bag that someone is either holding or nearby.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, I truly believe that's what it is.
Did you hear that anywhere else? Because that's a fucking ridiculous.
I didn't hear it anywhere, but I'm telling you that that's what it is. You don't see any gym bags around, but you see those brown bags everywhere. And again, I've seen jerseys, and it could have been like the first, and it's not just the first time.
So what do you think Thibodeau said to them?
I think he said, look, we're not fucking around here this season. You guys are coming to work. This is a job. We're going to put in the work.
You think he said to Frank, you think he said, like, guys, this isn't a fashion show.
This isn't a fashion show.
Frank, you're not on the Champs-Élysées.
That's exactly right.
With your fucking Louis Vuitton bag, all right?
That's exactly right.
And your fucking big orange jackets. You're here to fucking play basketball.
This is my philosophy. You're not going to a spa treatment. You're not getting on a private jet to go to the Bahamas with your girl or your other girl. You're coming here to work. So get rid of that bullshit. Check it at the door. Forget the status symbols, all right? This is about basketball. So take a brown paper bag. That's your new work bag.
How about forget about looking good on the way to play a game? How about you fucking look good on the fucking court?
Yeah, I don't need you worrying about what you're going to wear. What you got to worry about is the work that you're going to put in on the court.
Okay, well, listen, I guess we'll find out when the games begin in a year and a half, right?
Pretty much.
If these guys are strolling up to games with the brown paper bag and
they're all walking on the team bus and the charter.
Then we'll know. All right, guys, let's take this time to thank one of our sponsors, our only sponsor, the only one that believes in us, Clarkson Avenue Crumb Cake Company. Jay, do you want to read this one or should I do it?
Well, you could read it and I could talk about it as you go through if you'd like, because I could talk to you about the new flavor of the month and stuff. It's been a while, so there's a new flavor.
Well, that's right. It's a new month.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if you just also like make sounds like you're enjoying what I'm talking about.
Well, start talking about it and I'll do it. Sure.
All right, guys, it's a hard Knicks life, but for this ad, we like to say it's a crummy Knicks life.
Oh, God, that sounds good.
Using a family... What? What was that?
I said, oh, God, that sounds good.
Using a family recipe born in 1950s Brooklyn and perfected on the east end of Long Island, Clarkson Avenue Crumb Cake Company will deliver you the finest and most delicious crummy cakes on the market.
Yes, they will.
With flavors like Classic Crumb, Blackout, Salted Caramel, and Brooklyn Joe, your taste buds will thank you.
God, that stuff is delicious.
In this next little section, you start like fucking moaning.
I don't know about that.
And they are available online in two sizes, the classic 8x8 inch.
Yes.
The classic. Fuck. 8x8 inch size cakes or their world famous crumpkins.
Goodness.
Which, Jay, listen to this. Yeah. They're essentially crumb cakes in mini muffin form. You can pop those in your mouth one at a time.
Yes.
So take a trip down Clark's. You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. So take a trip down Clarkson Ave and crumb get some. Go to www.clarksonavcrumb.com. Use promo code HardNicksLife, Jay, for 23%. Off your order of those delicious crumbs.
For Big Mitch.
What is the flavor of the month?
Caramel apple crumb cake.
Ooh, I did see a photo of that.
Yeah, it looks delicious. They've got it on the table next to a drink that looks like an old fashioned or something.
Oh.
Looks like you're having an old fashioned with some caramel apple crumb cake, Granny Smith apples, real bourbon vanilla, and it is the finest. It says Saigon cinnamon. So we're not even we're talking about Vietnamese cinnamon here. Like we're talking about otherworldly, other side of the world cinnamon.
What do you mean Vietnamese cinnamon?
It says the finest Saigon cinnamon.
The fuck is, what is it? Have you
cinnamon
ever heard of
from Saigon. I assume. I don't know. I'm assuming Vietnamese cinnamon is a big deal.
And what's an old fashioned?
Well, I know there's a maraschino cherry in there. And what is it?
Is it a whiskey drink?
What?
Is it whiskey?
I believe so. There's like bitters, some kind of bitters in there, right? Yeah, it's whiskey. It's, I think, some brandy.
Sounds like you barely know what
there's
you're
talking
about.
There's some zest in there. I know what it looks like.
you're not helping at all. You don't know. Have you ever had one?
I just Googled it. I have had them. I'm just trying to remember offhand.
Yeah, looking, seeing that photo, that's honestly what sold to me. I was like, that drink, that looks like a good combination.
Yeah,
whatever
it does.
That drink is.
A nice, you know, warm alcoholic drink because it's getting a little colder outside with that delicious gooey crumb cake. It sells it. That picture sells it.
Do you ever live like that? Will you sit down and have crumb cake and some hard alcohol?
No, but I might now.
I know. Sounds amazing.
I mean, this picture is selling a lifestyle and I'm buying it. I like it.
Before we get into the power forwards, which I'm excited to talk about, what's going on with crazy Kyrie? They just hired Steve Nash, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
How did that come up exactly? I heard he preferred Ty Lue, apparently.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Can you imagine what's going to go on this season with that team? So Durant got his friend, Steve Nash, basically, in for this job. But meanwhile, Kyrie wanted Ty Lue. So it's Durant who got his way. And now Kyrie is claiming that they don't even need a head coach because they have Durant and Kyrie. And basically anyone can coach any given night.
Pretty much.
What does Steve Nash think after hearing that?
He's got to feel horrible. And what do the other players think? You know, you're any of these other players, you know, even a good player like Caris LeVert or Spencer Dinwiddie, any of these other guys hearing Kyrie and KD make those comments, they don't need a head coach. They came from Kenny Atkinson. They came from a guy who was trying to build up this non-existent Nets culture, and they did it. And now you bring in Kyrie, who is a culture killer, to this team. Hmm. You think the other players on the team want to hear that they don't need a head coach? They want some order. That's what they're used to. That's what they need. They were worse with Kyrie on their team this past season. They've seen Kyrie on the Celtics and have them put a worse product on the court than when he wasn't with them. He is a culture killer, you know, and I'm sure we're going to get to his other comment where, you know, he basically, you know,
just get to it now.
Jabs so. LeBron James. But
yeah.
On the subject of LeBron James,
what was the comment?
They were talking about crunch time and who was going to take the last shot, him or Durant. And, you know, he said it would be about whoever was hot. And then he said, one thing I've always been comfortable with, I felt like I was the best option on every team I played for down the stretch. This is the first time in my career I've looked down and be like, that motherfucker can make that shot too. And he'll probably
do
it
a
lot
career.
Easier.
Yeah, the first time in his career that he felt like another guy could make the shot. Meanwhile, he was playing with like LeBron, who has made nothing but like amazing shots his entire career. But
he played with LeBron for 90% of his career to date, pretty much.
And I mean, we see LeBron make amazing shots all the time. Okay, but
he said it's not about LeBron. Did you see that? He denied. He said people.
Yeah,
need to, like,
I know
move
that.
On.
Which is, yeah. Which
but what
is
the fuck
ridiculous.
Is he talking? How is
exactly.
it not? How is it not about LeBron?
But the whole thing is LeBron James. You know, again, the Lakers come from a history of culture, and you can argue, yeah, this Lakers team does not have culture. But one thing you would never say about LeBron is that he doesn't put in the work, all right? At least he does that. And, you know, as a role model to his teammates in that sense. Kyrie, however, he just wants to go and play. He wants to show up and play ball. He doesn't want to run sprints. He doesn't want to practice. He just wants to go and play the game that he loves to play. And he doesn't need to be coached either. That's what I'm saying is a huge difference between this guy he basically insulted by saying he can't shoot and these comments that he's making about not needing a coach.
Can I give you part of the comment about the coach? The very end
Go
of
ahead.
It? The very end of it. We don't need someone to come in with their coaching philosophy and change everything we're doing.
What have you done? You haven't done anything.
Isn't that
you
exactly
guys haven't
what
stepped
a coach
on the
is supposed
together.
To do? Come in with their coaching philosophy? Change what we're doing. They weren't doing anything. What, losing? He played how many games last year? 20 games? If even?
Whatever they happen to be doing.
And again, it's...
he doesn't want it being changed.
But it wasn't even the team. I mean, you throw KD in there, it's a totally different team. And I'm sorry, this team is going to implode. It's already started. I'm telling you. It's already making the fault lines through the team right now.
This is one of those things where you guys kept talking about how, you know, you're happy you didn't sign him. And part of me was like, this is really just revisionist history where you're trying to soothe yourself because you didn't get the superstar that you wanted. But the more and more he says, I mean, it's the reality. Like, they really dodged a bullet.
Dude, it is not, first of all, it's not revisionist. We were saying that at the time, we were saying that we will take him if that's meant we were getting Durant. But we were saying that, like, if we were just going to end up with Kyrie, we didn't want him.
Right. But now, yeah, we have said that, yeah, we still would not sign up for this. No fucking way.
Yeah, this isn't going to end well.
He is a culture killer.
Just like it didn't in Boston or Cleveland. Why would it be any different here?
I mean, the one reason why it might be different is Durant. If he comes back and he's Durant, he's enough of a great player to overcome having Kyrie on your team. I mean, Kyrie was on good teams with LeBron. You know, he didn't kill that team. So I think that could happen if Durant is Durant. But like Kyrie being the main guy and the only guy, the team's done. I think there's a chance because KD is there.
But you know, in that locker room, there's going to be nothing but problems. You know, KD can be playing his
ass off. I mean,
if
they're winning, who cares?
It's tough, though. I mean, it's going to take its toll. And people are going to want off of that team because they're not going to stand for his bullshit. The two of them are not good enough to win a championship together.
Kyrie can't stay healthy, and we don't know what KD is going to be like. He might not be able to stay healthy either. I mean, Kyrie can't stay healthy at all every year lately. Let's get into the draft, all right? We got the power forwards this week. We're going to be taking a look at Alexei Pusevaki.
Is that how you say that?
Is that how you say his name? I don't know.
You said it with confidence.
Patrick Williams, dude. Precious Achiuwa. I don't know if that's how you say his name. Achiuwa? Precious Achiuwa? Obi Toppin, Onyeka Okongwu. We're going to be starting all the way at the bottom. So first, we're going to talk about Alexei Pokusevsky.
Sure.
7-footer, supposedly a power forward out of Olympiakos, 19 years old, averaged... You know, he's international, so I'm sure he wasn't getting the minutes, but 9.9 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks. Projected to go number 17 right now in the Tankathon mock draft. His comp, a very impressive Radiance Kurus. He's on the Nets with Shades of Bobo. If that doesn't turn you off right away to taking him, I don't know what will. Barry, since when I was watching Alexei, he kind of reminded me of you as a player in high school. I'm curious what you thought of Alexei. A little, just like much taller than everyone,
right.
Not that athletic, you know, a little slow. Did he remind you of yourself as a high schooler?
Not myself, but he reminded me of a different tall, lanky player. He looked to me like a Sean Bradley who thought he was Magic Johnson because, yeah, he was much taller and frailer than everybody else, but he would try to do these fancy passes, which he made, and he converted a lot of the time. There's definitely potential there. He's only 18 years old.
Almost 19.
Almost 19. He'll be 19 at the very end of the year. He's young. And I started thinking about, you know, a lot of these guys who are 7 feet tall and are 7 feet tall at that young of an age, they're still kind of getting used to their body. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt of looking awkward at times because he's probably still getting used to his body. And considering that, he moved well. So there's definitely potential there. Even from three, he's got pretty good form. His free throw percentage was good, so that's typically a good sign for shooting the three. It's possible he'll be there when the Knicks pick comes around at 27th because I've seen him projected as low as 28 in some mock drafts. Yeah, he's one of those guys that's a gamble, though, because I think he's going to look out of place for, you know, quite a few years, and it's a big risk. High risk, high reward type of thing.
I was watching him, and I wasn't that impressed. I mean, he just seemed slow to me, and he is big, and How often in today's game do these like do these big, awkward, not very athletic players really work out in the game, right? Like it's
right.
They're not really a part of today's game. And I'm kind of, after having Chris Stapps, as much of a talent as he was, there's always that injury risk. There's always more likelihood of them getting injured or it not working out for whatever reason. Like, I have to be honest, I'm kind of over that kind of player.
Me too.
I don't have a, feel a need to have a 7-footer out there that can shoot or run the floor. Or, it's just not as appealing to me as a lot of the other styles I see out there. I thought he played really small for a 7-footer too, which was unusual. They actually said in the video we watched that his ideal position was at the 3. Like, oh, great. So we've got a 7-footer whose ideal position is playing on the perimeter as a 3.
Well, he can't play the 4. I know it says he's a power forward. He weighs 200 pounds.
Well, how's there a place for him in the NBA then? I mean, he's going to be the slowest
he's 7-foot tall, 200 pounds. They would throw him around like a rag doll. You know, Barry's talking about his shot. If you look at his shooting percentage, it's not just his 3, but even just his regular field goal percentage. It's crap. You know, 40% from the field, 32% from 3.
Yeah, how often do you see a 7-footer, especially in a league like that, that's 40% from the field?
I mean, that's pretty bad.
Next up, we got Patrick Williams, projected right now on tankathon.com to go at 14. He's a freshman out of Florida State, 6'8", power forward, 225, averaged 9 points, 4 rebounds. His comp was Marcus Morris. Jay, what did you think about Patrick Williams? Big fan, I could tell by that roll of the eyes right there.
I mean, you know, he had good size. He was a good rebounder. His D is good. He's got a pretty good shot.
Ferocious shot blocker.
Yeah. I mean, you know, is that necessarily what we need with Mitch already there? I mean, I liked what I saw.
Probably not.
Is it a little bit of a reach for 8? I think so. Yes. I mean, I certainly wouldn't put him at the top of this group. That's for sure.
He's obviously a great defender, 6'11" wingspan.
Yeah, he's got good size.
Great shot blocker, great defensive player. But he does not have really much at all of an offensive game.
No.
I looked in his 18 games last year for FSU. He had fewer than 10 points in 50% of them. And he had 4 games with 5 points or less. So he's really a defensive specialist. Barry, did you like Patrick?
I mean, he was okay. But again, he's a guy that's going to fall somewhere in the mid-lottery, somewhere where the Knicks aren't going to be anywhere close to his selection. But again, we're doing this to kind of learn about these prospects. And for the most part, you know, he was a good player. Like you said, really good shot blocker for his height.
Don't forget, by the way, that there has been talk about the Knicks moving down.
That's true, too. So you
right,
never
so
know.
So they could end up in that 13-14 range.
That's true. Which is also, yeah, why it's good knowing all these guys. Although his three-point shot isn't great, he does bring a lot of offensive tools to the table. Because everywhere else on the court, he looked really good. You know, his mid-range, around the rim, his dribbling, his handling, his passing, getting to the hoop. All that was positive. On the defensive side, although his shot blocking was good and his rebounding was good, he lacked a lot of lateral quickness. So that was his downfall.
Barry's the most analytical one of any of us.
I try to be.
Lateral quickness?
That's when you move side to side,
yeah,
Jason.
I mean, I know what it is,
man. It's a pretty important part of defense.
Next up, moving up the list, projected to go right now on Tankathon at number 12, Precious Achiuwa. Great name, Precious. Power forward out of Memphis, 6'9", 223 pounds, 21-year-old freshman. I don't know what that's about, but he's a 21-year-old. Is that true, 21?
I say he's 21. Yeah, I didn't realize he was a freshman.
1999.
21-year-old freshman. 16 points, 11 boards, 2 blocks a game. His comp, very impressive comp. Jeremy Grant with shades of Giannis. Guys, I'll start with him. Before I even saw the comp, I was blown away by watching this guy play. He's got a 7'2" wingspan. When I got up to him, I thought he was the best athlete in these like 4 weeks where we've been looking at the point guards, shooting guards, small forwards. Of everyone we've looked at so far, he was by far, I thought, the best athlete. Super energetic, super athletic. On the floor, he reminded me kind of like Blake Griffin. He could put the ball on the floor, beat his man. He was real creative around the rim, and his head was pretty much getting at rim level when he went up to throw it down. Seemed like he had a ton of potential, big body, NBA ready. His final 3 games at Memphis, he averaged 20 points, 18 boards, and 3 blocks. And not only does he do it on the offensive end of the floor, he doesn't really have much of a shot yet, but he's really good defensively as well. So he's not just great offensively and can't do anything defensively, or great defensively and doesn't have much offensively. He's good on both ends of the floor. I really liked him.
Yeah. And, you know, your name is Precious. You better be really strong and athletic, you know, to be behind that name. And that's what he was. And it's funny you said shades of Giannis, because I thought that too, but I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to sound, you know, ridiculous.
I didn't feel that. I mean, I didn't sense that way watching it, but it's that's what the comp was listed as.
Yeah, yeah.
And then no, I saw like, that. It's possible.
Yeah, no, he was super strong, super athletic. He moved really well. I think he's going to have a long career in the NBA. It seems like he's got a lot of control in and around the paint, even when he puts the ball on the floor. His free throw shooting was horrendous, like 59%. And that was like six attempts a game. Not a great post defender for his size. You know, you'd think with a strong body in there, he would be. But yeah, I mean, definitely a good player. I think we're going to be hearing a lot of his name, you know, in the future. You know, not saying he's going to be at the all-star level, but like I said, I think he's going to be a solid player.
The athletic ability was pretty impressive. He had a motor that seemed like it just went all game long. His jumping ability is insane. He's able to defend multiple positions. I think the big thing is that he doesn't really have much of a shot, and you're not really going to be getting, you know, great passing out of there. So you've got some weaknesses there, but he seems like the kind of guy that would just live around the rim on rebounds and in transition. Like you don't want him shooting threes or anything like that. Why would you want your power forward doing that? But yeah, he looks like he's a guy who could be a beast around the rim. I checked it out. He's from Nigeria originally. He was born in Nigeria, and he bounced around high schools a little bit. So that's probably why he's a freshman at the age of 20 or 21.
So it's possible he could be like 27, right?
I mean, I that's...
Isn't it?
27 is a little high, but...
He's not... Nobody really knows his true age.
He said he moved to the U.S. in eighth grade.
Okay, yeah.
So...
And he was probably... In the eighth grade, he was probably 17.
So who knows?
Did you think... I don't think that they're a similar player, but he seemed to have a lot of the same strengths as Mitch.
Yeah.
You know,
same
kind of the
player.
Motor and the shot blocking and the energy and the athletic ability and how high he can jump and the wingspan. But I thought he seemed to be way smoother and better offensively than Mitch. Just handling the ball, getting inside. We haven't seen anything from Mitch on that end. So I actually was watching him. I was wondering, would I rather have him than Mitch?
Well, did you see the...
Real? What?
Those videos of Mitch shooting the threes from the corner?
Everything Mitch could do, he was doing out there. But then he had a more of an offensive game. You didn't feel that way?
Not for a second.
Even in these videos we see of Mitch handling the ball in practice or in scrimmages, and he's doing these crazy moves and people are going crazy over them, I look at them and I think it's the most awkward looking thing I've ever seen.
That and
he's almost twisting his ankle every time he makes a move.
That and in real games we never see him take more than one dribble. I think there was one time where he let a break by himself and he dribbled the ball all the way down his court. You remember that up the right side of the court? There was one time he did that. Other than that, he dribbles the ball once, if that. So we never see it.
No, and even that time, he took one dribble, I think, at half court and then got all the way to the basket on two steps.
Well, we've seen that. He could run the whole court in like two steps. We've seen that video too.
Yeah, Butch told us that, remember?
Yeah.
Like I said, I was blown away by him. I was just shocked to see a player like him that I didn't really know much about that was projected to go at like 12 or lower that I really felt like I liked as much as any of the small forwards we talked about last week. I felt like I liked him as much as Isaac Okoro, who everyone talks about going in the top 5 to 8.
Oh, yeah. No. Okoro's definitely above Precious for me.
Oh, he is way above him for you? I really like Precious. All right, next up. I think this is a little weird because he's dropped a lot over the past few weeks. I don't know why, but right now Tankathon has Obi Toppin going 8 to us, actually. He's a 23-year-old out of Dayton, sophomore out of Dayton, 6'9", averaged 20 points, 7.5 boards, 2 assists, a block. His comp is Amari Stoudemire, and he also wears the number 1. I don't know if that's a coincidence. And he hails from Brooklyn, New York. Jay, I'll start with you.
Extremely athletic. He's another one who his jumping ability just, I mean, as ridiculous as it
insane.
Sounds. It just
didn't he looked exactly like Stoudemire.
Yeah. His athletic ability, it just leaps out at you when you watch the video. I mean, the guy's got crazy hops. But unlike Precious, he has a really good shot. Like he's got a decent 3-point shot. Obviously is a good thing. I mean, on the negative side, he's a little on the old side. 22, he'll be 23, I think, in March. His defense is not the best. A lot of the stuff that I saw, they talked about his footwork and how it's not necessarily so great.
It was awful. It's awful.
But the athletic ability is definitely there. I mean, yeah, when I saw the comp for Stoudemire, I thought, yeah, I could definitely see that.
Some sites have been projecting him top five or three or four.
Yeah, there was a mock I saw come out last week. I think it was from NBC Sports that had him at five.
I mean, when the first highlight of the video, he goes between his legs on the break for a windmill
slam. Oh, yeah,
slam.
It's incredible.
Every movement offensively was like seeing Amari Stoudemire again. It was really weird. Even his body type.
Yeah, his dunks were
the way
insane.
He runs, the way he throws it down, it's Stoudemire. But like you were saying, when they got to playing his defensive highlights or lowlights, as smooth and natural as he looked offensively, he was the total opposite on the other end.
Slow.
As Clyde would say, he was stumbling and bumbling and falling all over the place. It was so bad. His footwork. He was tripping over his own feet, falling down constantly. It was bizarre to me that he was that bad. He looked so inept defensively that it almost ruined everything I saw that I loved about him. Barry, did you like Obi?
Yeah, again, I mean, definitely didn't like his defense, you know, but yeah, super exciting, super fast, super athletic. He gets way up in the air. He had a good percentage from three, although he didn't have a lot of attempts, but I mean, that's a good sign that the potential's there for that. I know, you know, it's a big knock on his age. I don't see it as that big of a deal. You know, a lot of times they feel when they get that old, there may not be that much more room for potential, but that's not necessarily the case. You know, maybe you're getting a player who's closer to being NBA ready and is still growing. You know, you don't really know. But yeah, I mean, a very, very exciting playmaking guy you got in Obi Toppin.
Could you see him and Mitch playing well together?
Yeah, I think it would be fun. I mean, you never know who's going to come at you at the basket. Again, you know, you'd like somebody that you'd be a little bit more confident in that's going to help you space the floor. And again, you know, I just said his three-point shot's not there yet because, you know, we still got to grow that up. And, you know, you need guys on the floor that are going to space it, you know. So ideally, you know, we'd want shooters, but I don't think you could pass up on a guy like him if he's at that spot. You know, definitely worth considering.
All right, and guys, projected right now to go at number 6. And we know a lot about this player. We at least know his name because we did the mock draft week after week after week during the season, after the season, and every week we got Onyeka Okongwu. And I finally got to watch some highlights of him. He's 20 years old, projected to go top 8 right now, currently at 6 to the Hawks. 6'9" freshman out of USC, 16 points, 9 boards, 3 blocks. Comp, Antonio McDice. Barry, you finally got a chance to see Onyeka Okongwu. Were you blown away?
245 pounds at 6'9".
Really? He's a big boy.
Really big, big upper body.
He's a big boy.
Yep. Really good defender.
That's like that's Charles Oakley type size there.
There you go. He could dance better than Oakley. I'm guessing.
I'm not sure about that.
Okay. He can guard multiple positions. He moves really well with his man. And he's a good shot blocker. Really good rebounder. He's just a monster on the inside in the paint. Definitely not a three-point shooter. I think he took like a total of 4 attempts.
His shooting is so rare.
Right.
In the highlight video, when they were showing his jump shot, they had to show all these shots from warm-ups.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I noticed
to
that.
To show his jump shot. Were you not wondering why he was why it was all warm-up shots?
Because he never shoots in the game. That's why. That's exactly why. But again, here's a guy that scores over 16 points a game, and he's shooting over 61% from the field. So he knows what his strengths are, you know. So you like that. He's not trying to play outside of himself, I guess. What about you, Blanderson?
I said he was athletic on both ends of the floor. Great shot blocker, great rebounder. His wingspan is great. It's just around the rim, awesome. But you get outside of the paint there, and I don't think you're getting much of anything there. I mean, his shot is not good from outside. He's not a good passer.
Great in the pick and roll. Great.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things they said. When I saw the comp to Antonio McDice, though, that just depressed me because it just brought me back to the Marcus Camby trade. So
he's another guy, though, that I look at and I'm like, how does he fit with Mitch?
Yeah, they already have one of those
guys. They both have similar strengths. They're not the same player. Totally different body size but as far, like, you need two guys to finish on the pick and roll like that. And you need another player that his specialty is defense and shot blocking and doesn't shoot at all.
Right, now you're talking about
they could never play at the same time. Could you imagine starting both of them?
Yeah, then you're playing 5-on-3 if you have them on the floor at the same time, or 3-on-5, whatever.
I mean, at best, 5-on-4. Blanderson, who is your favorite power forward of this group?
The ones we watched.
You got they're all there at the 8th pick for the Knicks.
I'd say it's kind of a toss-up between Toppin and Okongwu. I mean, do I really think that either one of them is what the Knicks need? Not really.
It's a toss-up for me between Obi Toppin and Onyeka Okongwu. Because Onyeka, I got to give the edge to on the defensive side of the ball. And I think Thibodeau is going to try to be a strong defensive team, try to push the ball, get out in transition, and that's going to start on the defense. But I think not only is Obi Toppin going to be more exciting to watch, I think he's got more potential to, you know, for that outside shot. I think he could do more on offense. So, you know, that's why it's a coin toss.
All right. Well, I was a toss up too, but not between Onyeka and Obi.
Who, Precious?
Oh, Precious?
Between Toppin and Precious. Now, I loved Onyeka, but I just don't see why we would need him with Mitch. And I don't love him enough to just take him and because he's the best available talent. Obi, I loved his offensive ability, and he was really bad defensively, but I'm hoping that with Mitch out there, they complement each other a bit because they're two totally different players, and they both have entirely opposite strengths. Precious, I loved his potential to become a lot better than he is right now, and he's really good right now. So it was really a toss-up, but I would go with Obi Toppin. I think he could have an immediate impact. He's 23, which isn't great, but it also means he's going to probably come right in and play pretty good. And I could see him out there with Mitch and RJ. He shares the ball. I could see him playing well with that team. Out of all the guys we've seen, do any of these guys jump ahead of the other positions that we've liked? I know, Barry, you've liked Tyrese Halliburton a lot, and I think he is your top guy. Would you take Obi or Onyeka over Tyrese?
No.
No, still Tyrese.
Really?
With that broken shot.
That's he's still your number one after four positions? That guy? The guy who shoots from his nipples.
Isn't that crazy?
Barry,
I also like Cole Anthony, Jay.
Barry, I do.
You like Cole Anthony over all these guys too?
Barry.
Yes.
No.
Yep.
Holy
that's
shit.
Insanity.
I do.
I agree that's insanity.
I think he's going to be a more...
And that was the first position we looked at.
I think he's going to be a more impactful player.
No, there's just...
I just do.
No way. Than anybody else we've discussed? Anybody else?
Where does the mock draft have Cole Anthony, right? Holy shit.
He's dropping, 20. Right?
Yeah.
20?
20 to the Heat.
Yeah, the one I was just looking at had him drop down also. I think it was...
we might be able to get him at 27.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? That'd be a steal.
Jay, do any of these guys become your favorite overall so far?
No. I think I'd still, if everybody, you know, the top ones are gone, I'm going with Devin Vassell. He's the one I've liked the most so far. It's the shooting. It's the shot. The length and the shot.
I think Vassell was also my favorite, too. I think that this position jumps ahead for me. I thought there were a few guys, actually, that I would love to have more than any other position we've seen. Between Onyeka, Toppin, and Precious. I don't know. They were some of my favorite guys I've seen. All right, guys. Well, there's one position left, and next time we do a show, whenever that is, it'll be centers, and there's not many of them. We might even just do, like, the two centers and then some leftovers or something.
Right.
But does everybody hear that music? Because it is time. It is that time in the show that everybody loves.
Yeah, I get so excited because I keep thinking that you're about to play the music for the end of the show, and I'm like, oh, but then I hear it's time for the news, and it's like, oh, my favorite part.
It is everyone's favorite part. It's such a nice change of pace, Blandy.
You know, I do what I can, you know? And I've got a decent amount of stuff here. We'll see.
And this week, in honor of the best athlete I've seen in the draft to date, you're going to be doing it in Nigerian
that
accent.
That is not happening.
For Precious Achiuwa.
Nope.
There will be no problem with that. No one will hate us.
Yeah, I'm not touching that. Although, was that a British colony at some point? Maybe I could just do a British accent for that. What do you think?
No, fuck it.
No good?
All right, this is the news with Blanderson Hooper. Hooper or Hooper?
Hooper.
Well, unless I'm doing it in French. So, all right, here we go. You ready? First things first, you mentioned Charles Oakley before. I want to start off with letting everybody know that if they're not watching Dancing with the Stars, Charles Oakley was the first person eliminated from Dancing with the Stars. He and his partner, it was between them and Carol Baskin, that Tiger King woman. And yeah, he was voted off. So Charles is gone.
It's good to just let the embarrassment for Knicks fans end early as possible.
Nothing new with the draft. You know, they're doing this virtual combine. They invited, I think, 85 players to be part of this. I know LaMelo sat down for some interviews earlier in the week and then pulled out of the rest of it. So he will not be.
And what does that mean for LaMelo?
I don't know. I mean, you know, he did an interview. He was asked about who he interviewed with, what teams he might be interested in. He did talk about talking to the Knicks. He also talked about his father. I guess his father made some news by talking about how he wouldn't fit in well with the Warriors at number two. And he said, you know, basically, don't listen to my father. But so he's not participating in any of the workouts or any of that kind of stuff.
You know, my favorite part about the news is, Barry, that Jay just takes over.
Yeah, it is nice.
Isn't it like a nice weight off?
So you could
it's like
to relax. You mean you just sit back and relax?
Yeah,
yeah. It's like when
the news starts and my whole body relaxes.
Well, you know what it's like for me? It's like when my friend is driving me somewhere and I say, you know, I'm gonna sit in the back seat, and they're looking at you all crazy, like, why aren't you sitting up front in the passenger seat? That's weird. I'm like, not your chauffeur. I was like, no. I'm going to sit in the back and relax. And
wait, what?
You would do that?
You've done that.
I've done it.
When?
You sat in the back while with one other person?
I've done it once or twice. Yeah. It's very rude. It
Barry,
is very
coming
rude
out with
to
some
do.
Weird stuff.
But I've done it.
Between this and the Tyrese Halliburton thing, I don't know what's going on.
It's not a classy move, I'll tell you that.
No. It's like driving Miss Daisy.
Right. So go ahead, Miss Daisy.
All right, free agency. Still not sure when free agency is going to start. They're saying the best case scenario, they think that it'll probably be like this year in terms of what the cap's going to be, which would be about $109 million, right around there, with a luxury tax cap at about $132 million or so. At this point, like I said, no specific date, but it looks like it's going to be after the draft, which is November 18th. The finals, I don't know if you guys were watching while we've been taping. The Lakers are up now 2-0. 124-114 over the Heat. LeBron looks like he's looking like he's going to win another title. Part of that is Bam Adebayo was out, and so was Goran Dragic, who's probably done for the series, I would think. He's got a tear in his foot.
How's Tyler Herro doing, who people were just ripping on the Knicks and everyone for passing on Herro because he had a few good games?
You know, it's funny you bring him up. I was reading before that actually Tyrese Maxey, who we watched and none of us were impressed with, is moving up on some people's draft boards as a result of what Herro is doing in the playoffs, because they're similar type players, apparently.
They are?
That's what I saw. Yeah, it's actually helped his...
I'm telling you, you cannot read too much into what anyone is doing in these playoffs. Somebody said recently, I saw a quote, that this isn't... that these are more like pickup games.
Oh, that's Scottie Pippen. I was going to bring that up. Yeah.
What?
Was that Pippen?
Scottie Pippen said that it's not real basketball because they're not traveling. It's pickup basketball.
No.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
You do?
I agree that it might be pickup basketball, and you cannot, like, I would never sign some guy to some massive contract because he's been amazing over this playoff run. I could never do it.
I'm not arguing with that, but the stakes are high. The players definitely feel it. It's not like playing in front of, like, you know, a packed house in the finals. And the energy that's going to be there and the adversity that you're going to face on an away court. It's nothing like that. But it's still a high level of basketball.
I don't think that's what it was about, though.
But aren't there players that, or people in general, some people are good with a lot of people watching them play something or perform, and some are not.
Right. You're right.
The few times I've played golf, you get on the first hole, and if there's someone there watching me hit that first shot, dude, I cannot do anything with it. I am fucking awful because I feel the pressure. Then the rest of the game, I'm fine. But I cannot hit when people are watching.
Right.
And I feel like that there are players like that. So there might be players out there who are lining up playing really well because they don't have that same pressure. It's an empty gym.
Right.
It might be a high-level play and it might be important games, but there's... When the players are there, it feels like it's just a game.
Yeah, I don't. From based on reading the quote, Barry, I don't see it as him talking about the quality. Because here's the whole quote. I'm going to be honest. It's not NBA basketball. It's not the hard grind. It's not the travel. It's not the fans. It's not the distractions. Really, to me, it's pickup basketball. It's going to the gym. yeah, you already got your team, you all practicing together, but it's more of a pickup game because there's no fans in the stands, no distraction, no real noise. There's no pressure on the player. So I don't think it was about the quality.
No pressure. For over 3 months. You can't leave. You can't go anywhere. You can tell me that you can't. You could tell me that you're not going to judge
that
a player.
Doesn't mean it's pressure.
There is, and you could tell me that you're not going to judge
a
player.
There's just a different kind of pressure
and choose to sign them because I agree with that because they may play differently in this court. But this championship isn't going to be worth any less. It's still a hard route to the championship in these conditions because they're not traveling. It's just another set of circumstances.
If the Lakers win, it doesn't mean less because they were basically considered a favorite. But tell me that if Miami won,
yeah,
you wouldn't think that a lot of it had to do with the games right now, the fact there's no home court advantage at all.
That may help them
think
because they're younger.
All of this came into play.
That may help them because they're younger for the most part, maybe. But I mean, still, they still have to get through all those other teams, and those other teams are in the same boat, same situation, and they were the ones to make it through. You can't take it away from them.
Okay, keep going. We're done there.
Go ahead.
Keep driving.
I did want to also bring up that that game one had the lowest ratings of any NBA Finals game since 1988, I think. Viewership is down, although viewership is down around the, you know, like all over the place. It's down at the NBA. It's been down. Golf is down. I think the British Open.
All the sports
are
down. Yeah,
they're all down, which is weird. You would think they might be higher since everybody's at home and isn't going to the games, but yeah. And I'm sure after tonight with them winning again and everybody just expecting the Lakers probably to sweep, that it'll go down even more. Coaching carousel, Doc Rivers parts ways with the Clippers, right? Very quickly signs on with the 76ers. We'll see if he could, you know, somehow bring Embiid and Ben Simmons to the promised land. I mean, he couldn't get there with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, so I don't know. I mean, I guess the East is as wide open as anywhere. Rumors that Ty Lue might be replacing him in L.A. Ty Lue is also an option in New Orleans and in Houston. And then also you got Billy Donovan, who left the rebuilding Thunder to go coach the rebuilding Bulls. Doesn't make much sense.
What else you got?
Any interest in Victor Oladipo, who wants out in Indiana, apparently? What do you think?
I mean, is there any more to talk about that? What do you mean, any interest?
I mean, he wants out. The rumor is out there that he's a free agent after next season, I think. But
I'm not trading anything for Victor Oladipo. You, Barry?
Yeah, I'll wait for something better.
I mean, that's a massive knee, you know, major knee injury. I don't know if that's...
Yeah, I mean, if we were getting something for taking him, I'm not trading any assets for him.
What about Miles Turner? That's another one. I guess people are not happy in Indiana. No, Barry?
No.
Barry's chewing his fingernails, just being like, no. Okay. No.
And then just last thing I'll throw out here, just to end on a different kind of note here. I don't know if you guys have followed at all the plight of former NBA player Delonte West, who last played in the league 8 years ago, battling drug addiction and poverty since he left. He suffers from bipolar disorder.
He's constantly being spotted.
Yeah, he was recently spotted somewhere in Dallas.
It's not the first time,
right? Yeah, no, it's happened before. Mark Cuban, who was the owner of the Mavericks, you know, the last team that he played for, was able to track him down, and they got him into a drug rehab center in Florida. And that's basically it.
Sure. That's good.
And that's the way the basketball bounces.
Oh, sticking with that.
There you go. Well, thank you, Jay. All right, guys, that's going to do it for today's show. If you want to reach out to us, it's hardknickslife@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter @hardknickslife. You can follow Barry @BarryDorfin. You can follow Blandy @BlandyHooper. Yeah, if you like our show, leave us a 5-star rating and or positive review, and you can call us.
That's right. The phone lines are open. 516-33-MESH-1.
I want to reiterate that I won't pick up the phone, so you can call, and it's a voicemail. I know it's confusing, but it's not my regular number. I get an email when it comes in, so there's no risk of me picking up the phone.
And we will hear it, and there's a good chance we'll play it.
There's actually like 100% chance we will play it. And I really do, I am going to beg right now, if he's out there, and I pray he still is, somebody made a comment recently about Macho Man, who used to call in all the time. And I remember that he said he was battling, cancer. Do you remember that, Barry?
Yeah, that's what we thought he said, yep.
Yeah, and then he just stopped calling. And someone mentioned on Twitter recently, like, they were worried about him. If you're out there, give us a call. I miss those calls. Don't you?
No comment. I don't want to say anything disparaging about somebody who could be, you know.
All right, Macho Man, if you're out there, you heard Barry with what he just said, you'd call him and rip him a new one.
I think it might be interesting to hear Derek's accent about some of these draft picks. What do you think? I'd like to hear Onyeka Okongwu in like a thick Scottish brogue, you know?
Okay, I like that. So let's play a game, Derek. Why don't you, we'll play a game where you're going to say draft pick names.
Oh, I like
in that. Your accent, and we have to figure out who you're saying.
Wouldn't you like to hear him say Alexei Pukyevs, you know, whatever?
Yes. So he's set up games for us before. Derek, if you could set up that game, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, and if you have, you know, you watch a lot of the EuroLeague, so if any of these draft picks that we've talked about already and you've seen them, you know, multiple times in EuroLeague play, you could also give us, you know, your 2 cents on that.
So now we've stopped appealing to the whole listener base for voicemails, and we're actually singling people out to try and
get
them
to call
in. I
think that would just be fun.
Is that what it's come to? We've asked for Macho Man, and now we've asked for Derek.
We'd like everybody to call in. I think that would be a fun little thing there to try and hear, you know, what it sounds like to hear.
It
those
would be great. It would be great. Barry, what did you want to talk about?
What is this bullshit that certain places now aren't giving out coins has changed?
Oh yeah, because there's a shortage.
Really?
Supposedly. Or allegedly. There's a national.
Well, why are you paying with cash?
Because that's how I pay. I always pay with cash.
You shouldn't pay with cash.
I don't carry cash in my wallet ever.
Some places won't even take anything but a credit card.
Right. Or they say, please, you know, we prefer contactless payment. But I pay in cash. What do you want from me? Can they even do that? Chipotle's doing it, Dunkin' Donuts, Target.
What do you mean if they don't have
But shouldn't they round down then?
Yeah, thank
Wait,
you.
You're saying they won't accept it?
Dude, if it costs $18.03 and I give them $19 and they say, just so you know, you're not going to get that 93 cents back.
That's ridiculous.
I know.
First off, that's 97 cents.
What'd I say?
You said 18.03 and then you said, just so you know, you're not going to get that 93 cents back.
Oh, okay.
No, I think that's wrong.
It is wrong. And look, I'm in a retail business. I haven't had a problem going to the bank and getting change. They never give me a problem. I get rolls of quarters, dimes, nickels, pennies. They never give me a fucking problem.
Wait, I got an article of the Washington Post from September 1st, so a month ago. Well, there's a coin shortage. You got the Treasury Secretary in August tweeting out for people to help get coins moving by spending any extra change they have.
And is that because of what's going on in this fucking country right now?
Yes, it's based on the pandemic. The U.S. Mint scaled back number of employees working to allow for social distancing towards the beginning. They didn't get back to full production until mid-June. So that was what, March to June? So, yeah.
It's my problem that the store doesn't have enough change on hand.
Well, the fact that they round up, that is ridiculous, yes.
Or then give me a fucking gift card with the change on it.
It's ridiculous. They could simply say under 50 cents, you go down, over, you go up, and then it'll always even out for them.
Yeah. Call your congressman.
All right. Well, this is one of our greatest shows ever. And I can tell because we spent the last 2 minutes talking about
coins,
the coin shortage.
Fascinating
in the country.
Stuff you don't hear just anywhere.
I don't think there's a podcast in the world that's talking about a coin shortage.
No. And people are thinking about it. They've heard about it. They're wondering about it.
There's only one person that cares about the shortage. It's the only fucking guy paying with cash
honestly.
Right now. It's you.
See, that's the thing. It says it's a circulation problem. It's somewhat of a supply problem, but it's mainly a circulation problem.
So on the one hand, you're saying
don't
you
use
shouldn't
cash.
Pay with cash. Jason, on the one hand, you're telling me I shouldn't be paying with cash because of the pandemic and I don't want to spread germs. But on the other hand, you're telling me I should be paying with my loose change to get it back into the system, which is it?
Okay. Guys, until next time, it is like we're going to go on with this forever. Until next time, it is a hard
Knicks
life.
I could see that was going to just go on and on. Then you got the music playing for like 15 minutes.
Right.
And we're talking about pennies and dimes.
I love when the music's playing behind us, though.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.